You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Monday. We are back and doing it. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Where it's your team every day. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hull, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. Apologies. We did not do a post game as hoped because with everything with the weather, the camera equipment was not happy. If you were to see the post game footage I had of Jim Harbaugh and the players, you couldn't see it. It was not good. All fogged up. So I had to give it some time to get the camera equipment unfrosted because it was a frosty one out there. So obviously let's talk about Michigan, Nebraska. I'm not going to lie. My head's fully on Ohio State at this point. And for those of you out there, certainly are going to say, we have Illinois first. We need to focus on Illinois. I want to remind you that we can focus on whatever we want. The team asked to focus on Illinois, we can focus on whatever we want. We could focus on USC, UCLA this weekend if we were so inclined. We have no bearing on what the team does in terms of that. Now, it is a different thing if when you go to the games, you need to go and you need to be loud and all of that kind of stuff. The crowd can and does affect the game in game, but during the week, we have no effect on anything. Obviously I think a lot of people's eyes are turned to Ohio State. I think that's a normal, natural thing. I'm sure it's the same down in Columbus. They also have to, as a team, not as a fan base, have to focus on Maryland. And that's a little bit, you know, both teams have sneaky games. So there is that. There's all kinds of stuff to focus on. Let's talk a little bit about Nebraska. Let's go through some of the things that I liked, some of the things that I didn't. So here's the good news is that Michigan had what I call a ho-hum performance and still won extremely handily. Saw some people freaking out about, you know, the pass defense, more 50-50 balls given up. I mean, that's going to happen, but Michigan ultimately gave up 71 yards passing. 71 yards. That's a quality problem. Now, of course, they played two backup quarterbacks, so it wasn't the Casey Thompson experience, which certainly puts a damper on things to some degree, right? So that's not great in that sense of that you still haven't necessarily been tested as a defense outside of Maryland in terms of having a pretty high-flying attack. Maryland's certainly not what it was, but yeah, rushing game still incredible. Not much from Donovan Edwards this time. Clearly, obviously, an injury. Only rushed twice for 13 yards. No receptions, but it seemed raring to go back in. So I don't think there's any issues there. He went into the locker room at halftime for some x-rays, as did Mike Morris after the game. I think it's a good sign that Mike Morris is appearing on the Michigan Inside Michigan Football radio show this evening, so that usually bodes well, right? He's not going to go on there and be like, yeah, done. I'm done for the year. But 279 yards on the ground, averaging 5.4 yards a carry. Blake Corum at 5.8. CJ Stokes had 8 carries for 68 yards, 8.5 yards per carry. That's great. These are the things that are really clearly working for these Michigan Wolverines. I do want to, Michigan's number 4 in rushing offense, averaging 251.4 yards a game on the ground. I do want to note that this year, I think overall is a better showing on the ground than last year. It's way more consistent than it was last year. Last year had some, I think, early season wow type games. This year has had one, of course. But let's just go through the numbers real fast because I think that that's important. So they have, I don't have an average right here, but well, I guess I do. It's because they've played 10 games. They've averaged 44.7 yards, or sorry, 44.7 rushes per game for an average of 251.4. They're averaging 5.6 yards a game, yards per carry rather, and they have 31 touchdowns on the ground. So, I mean, that's impressive. There's only been three games in which they haven't accumulated more than 200 yards. UConn, which actually is their third worst rushing performance of the season. Iowa, as to be expected, their worst rushing performance of the season in yards per carry at 4.1. They got 172 yards in that game. And Indiana, 165 yards total, 4.1 yards per carry. That can be explained away in large part due to the Mike Hart situation on the sidelines. But otherwise, 234, 268, 192, 243, 172, 165, 418, 276, 282, and 264. So that's pretty stellar, especially you go back to last year. It was not nearly as impressive last year. Let me just go through some of these numbers real fast. 335, 343, 373. Okay, that everyone was pretty excited about that, of course. Three games to start out the year, over 300 yards rushing, including against Washington. But then 112, 112, 204, then 294, 146, 188, 144, 151 before getting 297 against Ohio State. Four games of under 200 yards rushing. Against Michigan State, they got more than 200. Against Indiana, got less. Against Penn State, I mean, they nearly tripled the amount of rushing yards they had from last year to this year. Against Maryland, they also far exceeded the amount of rushing that they were able to do. So, pretty stellar improvement year over year. That certainly makes you feel like it's going to continue to be sustainable. I'd like what Joel Klatt had said about this rushing offense. It's you know that we're going to run the ball. And they know that you know. And you know that they know that. It really is, try to stop it. And that's kind of what Jim Harbaugh said today was, you know, we're daring people to stop it, and no one's been able to, really. Indiana's been the closest, along with Iowa. And even in those games, there have been rushing touchdowns, right? Two against Iowa, one against Indiana. 172, 165. That's it. That is the closest that anyone's gotten. And on top of it, no team other than Penn State and Maryland have had any kind of lead on Michigan all year long. Well, sorry, Rutgers as well. But no one more than 4 points. It's impressive. Let's continue on. But before we do, the inflation has us all thinking about different ways to cut back, whether it's driving less, dining out less, buying less from the grocery store. I mean, all of these things are happening. But we can all agree that there's nothing fun about less. That's why I started using Upside. Upside is an incredible app for anyone who buys gas, groceries, or dines out. With Upside, I don't have to cut back because I get cash back on every purchase, which is absolutely game-changing. So to get started, download the free Upside app. Use my promo code LOCK to get $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more. Next, claim an offer for whatever you're buying on Upside. Check in at the business, pay as usual with a credit card or debit card, and get paid. In comparison to credit card rewards or loyalty programs, you can earn 3 times more cash back with Upside. Upside users are earning more than $1 million every week. That's probably why they have a 4.8 star rating on the App Store. Download the free Upside app today, and you can use the promo code LOCK to get $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more. That's $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more using the promo code LOCKED. All right, let's continue on here. I do want to kind of look at some PFF numbers and stuff here just because I have it open. I say that now it's refusing to work. It's like, no, that's not happening. We're not doing that. So maybe we won't do the PFF Okay. Now we're starting to work. Obviously, you want to see more from the pass game. That absolutely needs to happen, of course. Especially because, all right, this is being weird. I don't get what's happening here. I mean, JJ McCarthy's still grading out pretty well here, right? He's sixth in the conference, according to PFF. I don't know why it was saying, though. I tried to select the amount of dropbacks, and it's like, yeah, no, he's not a starter, which I don't get. I mean, he's still up there. He's only 2 points behind C.J. Stroud overall offense. And when it comes to passing offense, he's 4 points behind, 5 points behind. He's really not that far behind. Obviously, Michigan needs to figure out some things when it comes to receiver, right? I don't think it's necessarily a dire issue, because I do think Michigan should be able to run its offense against Illinois and against Ohio State. I don't think they necessarily need this big deep ball. They've managed to win a lot of games without it against really good defenses. The issue that I think has come up in the last 2 weeks that has me troubled is less the deep ball, the ability to get one of those big game-breaking deep balls, as much as it is the lack of efficiency. And I think that's the issue, right? Because if JJ can play the way that he played for the bulk of the year to this point, or to the last 2 weeks, they will be fine. Can't be having these sub 50% or around 50% passing days. They have to be efficient. They have to be able to stay on schedule against Ohio State, and heck, maybe probably against Illinois as well, because that's a really good defense. So I think that's the big key, is just being efficient, staying on schedule. That might do more for Michigan if they can just slowly and methodically move down the field in either of these next two games than it would to be able to hit these big, big plays. Now, that said, obviously, it would be nice to see some of those big, big plays. But I don't think it's necessarily a dire situation if they don't get those as of yet. I just think completing passes is the most important thing. And if you have Donovan Edwards and Luke Schoonmaker out there, I think that helps a lot. I'm also very curious as to where did some of the high percentage passing type looks go. Slants were a very key part of the passing game until they weren't. I'd love to see more slants, more. You see crossing routes and kind of some slants with the tight ends. I want to see more of that. I want to know what the heck happened to AJ Henning. Where did AJ Henning go? I have no idea. He's out there for punt returns, but I wonder. I can't imagine that they are completely shelling themselves just because they don't need it and saving things for Ohio State, but I really feel like there are elements to this offense that were key components, and they have the same pieces out there that they just are not using. And I don't know if it's because they feel like it doesn't work as well as it did a year ago. I don't really know, but I know that there's going to be elements of this offense that come alive in ways that, like, for instance, we didn't see against Nebraska. I think that obviously JJ keepers, we saw those in games like Penn State and Michigan State and used to great effect, that we didn't necessarily see from the Rutgers game or this game. Michigan is always very keen to shut things down in some of those games. So in a lot of ways, I'm not that concerned about the offense, because I think that they will be able to play their game against the Ohio State defense. Because I think that some of the other defenses they faced are essentially as good as Ohio State. Iowa, Penn State. I think that Illinois will be a really good test. If they can continue to do what they've wanted to do against Illinois, then I definitely think that Michigan will be able to do what it wants against Ohio State. The bigger problem is, what do you do on the defensive side against Ohio State? Now, Michigan will have the toughest defense that Ohio State will have seen all year. Certainly, it has a pass rush unlike what Ohio State has seen. Let's just take a look in the... We'll do it overall here. When it comes to sacks, if I can get my computer to behave here, Michigan is 12th in the country in sacks at the moment, which is just baffling in a lot of ways. That's through 10 games. That's 31 sacks, 3.1 per game. Just by comparison, Michigan had 34 last year, period, through 14 games. Four games to go. That's a sack a game to be able to increase that number here. But Penn State has 29. Notre Dame has 29. Those are both 16th. So that's that for, you know, Ohio State. Seen some obviously not much difference when it comes to that overall. But certainly the pass rush is phenomenal for Michigan comparatively. Even I'm going to pull up the PFF here as far as the Big Ten is concerned. It's just it's just going to be a jerk about it for a minute. But I really like what Michigan's defense does. I think that it is built to essentially take advantage of what Ohio State does. I think that that's the really great thing about it all, is that it really feels like it was built to beat Ohio State. However, Ohio State is still the type of team that can still score in bunches no matter how bad. Because good offense tends to still beat good defense. Tends to. Michigan has the number three defense, according to a Pro Football Focus. 0.1%, 0.1 rather, just point ahead of Ohio State. They have both faced an Iowa team and both did pretty good. That's number two. Michigan faces number five, Illinois. As far as run defense, Michigan's number two, according to PFF, with a grade of 93.6 behind only Texas State, who's 3-7. Yeah, I don't know what that's all about there. Pass rush-wise, Michigan's 23rd, according to PFF. Ohio State is 5th. Penn State's 10th. So according to this, they're not necessarily in that same stratosphere. But coverage-wise, Michigan is 4th behind two Big Ten teams, Iowa number 1, Illinois number 3, and actually Minnesota, who neither faced out there. So offensively, Michigan's not much different, according to PFF. Number 6 in the country offensively, Ohio State's number 2. Obviously, Michigan's the top running team in the country. Has Ohio State as number 7. I'm not sure about that, but that's what it says. And then as far as passing, obviously, Michigan's not anywhere in the same stratosphere. It's not really high in passing or pass blocking or receiving. Ohio State's got the number 1 receiving unit. So it's going to be the number 1 coverage unit versus the number 1 receiving unit. I mean, it's pitting strength against strength kind of all across the board for the most part, with a few exceptions. Rushing defense, though, I mean, even though Ohio State is ranked 18th, you've got to feel pretty good, right? Northwestern was able to, you know, ran on them 59 times for 206 yards. That's an average of 3.49. I mean, Michigan could probably certainly outdo that. Indiana got 150 yards on the ground against Ohio State on 40 rushes. This is an Indiana team. I'm going to look this up right now. This is an Indiana team who, when it comes to running the football, has been abysmal. That is the second best metric that they have had all year long. And that goes in both yards per carry as well as overall yards. Against Idaho, an FCS team, or whatever they are, they had 239 yards on the ground for 6.64 yards per carry. They did their second best job running the football against Ohio State. I still think that it's going to be a situation where Michigan's going to be able to run the ball. But I think that Michigan will probably have a pretty good chance to stop the run and force C.J. Stroud to throw, and we will see. It's going to be a game. And I know there's some of you out there that want to hear about Illinois. I'm not doing it. I don't. Not to dismiss the Illini, but especially once they went and lost their second game in a row, I don't care. Michigan, go handle business. I don't need to do a full preview on what Illinois presents, because the game that we all care about, that we have been sitting here circling for since November 27th, 2021, has been this one. So I'm excited to see what happens. All right, let's just continue on. We've got more. But this episode of Locked On Wolverines is brought to you by Nissan. This week's thrilling moment in college football is brought to you by Nissan. The thrilling designs behind the new lineup from Nissan are intended to empower drivers and vehicles as capable as the driver themselves. When I think of unbelievable abilities on the field for this week's thrilling moment, it has to be the Ronnie Bell actual touchdown, not the one that didn't count, but Ronnie Bell on the play action shows how dangerous the play action can be. And it wasn't just Ronnie Bell. It was Blake Corum making a key block. It was J.J. McCarthy making a solid throw to a wide-open Ronnie Bell in the end zone. You hope that more of that happens in the next week or two, probably in 2 weeks. If they don't need to use the play action, I certainly imagine that they won't against Illinois. But I think that that moment, that was like, okay, look, they passed the ball. They can do it. So we'll see what happens there. This segment has been inspired by the thrilling new designs featured across Nissan's new lineup of vehicles. Pursue what thrills you in the all-new Frontier, Armada, or Pathfinder today. Available now at NissanUSA.com. All right, we got a couple minutes left. Obviously, I think a big thing on all of our minds is when it comes to Michigan football is, will they be healthy enough? This game sometimes has been dangerous, the penultimate week of the regular season, because we've seen the team before Ohio State sometimes, or even two games before, present some injury issues. You can't convince me that if Wilton Spate doesn't get injured at Iowa, that Michigan doesn't go into Columbus and win 40-10, right? So it can be dangerous. I mean, we've seen, you know, in 2018, Chase Winovich gets banged up the week before. Some other spots there. So Michigan needs to try to stay healthy. But obviously they can't do it at the expense of losing the game against Illinois either. You do hope that you have Donovan Edwards back for the game and Luke Schoonmaker. And if you can get away without having Mike Morris, then I say go for it. You've got plenty of other guys who can rush the passer. Certainly he's been the most consistent, but this could be a good game to really get a Yabby Oki going. Maybe you can have a Taco Charlton type come up, because I want to look at this myself. When it comes to Taco Charlton, I don't think that he was really going nuts until the last few games of the year. I mean, he had some of his moments, right? He had 10 sacks in 2016 in 11 games. And, yeah, correct. I mean, he went nuts in the Ohio State game. It was 1 in week 4, 2 in, against Rutgers, 3 against Michigan State, 2 against Iowa. Oh, wait, I'm looking at tackles. Never mind. That's I was like, that's some big numbers. Sorry. 1.5 against Penn State. 2 against Rutgers, 1 against Iowa, 1 against Indiana, 2.5 against Ohio State. So, yeah, you hope that you can get that type of, 3.5 sacks or something from somebody. I mean, they're going to do things by committee, but if you can find a way to get that type of production from somebody, because right now Mike Morris is standing alone 7.5 sacks. I would venture to guess that that's about what Aiden was a year ago. Aiden finished with 14, but he really came on. I mean, he came on late. He had 3 in that Ohio State game. Was particularly dominant there. But looking at the amount of sacks, I mean, last 3 games, he had none against Georgia. We had 4 of his 14 in the last 3 weeks. None. So the Penn State game was where he really, that was his best until Ohio State. Maybe a guy like Yabby Oki comes on and has that type of performance. Quietly, Taylor Upshaw has been doing a little bit better, it kind of feels. I know he's only got 1 sack on the season. I believe in tackles for loss, he's doing a little bit better. He has 3 there. They obviously will miss Mike Morris, but I mean, he's got that type of production, right? Aiden Hutchinson had 16 and a half tackles for loss. Mike Morris has 11. He's not that far off the mark. He's from where Aiden was or where anyone else was. Was Aiden better? Absolutely. But he can certainly get there. So now I feel like we're kind of flailing here because I'm focusing on a team that is not the one that's ahead of it. But that's going to be what we do for probably the next foreseeable, because Michigan should handle business against Illinois. And it's going to take a group effort. It's going to take everything going right. I'm not going to say it will take no turnovers, because they had a turnover last year and still won handily. But I think that being on the road, they probably can't afford it. Ohio State certainly knows what's coming. I'm not deluded enough to say that the offense will suddenly just be fixed altogether, but they, I think, have the pieces where they can go and beat that team. But they also have I also would not be surprised if Ohio State ran them off the field either, just strictly because that's the type of talent Ohio State has. We saw it in 2018 and 2019. I think this Michigan team is better than both. And I think that this Ohio State team is not as good as, say, the 2019 team. We'll see. All right, that's going to do it for us today. The plan for tomorrow, Tuesday, is to have Taylor Lewan to talk about the Bussin Bowl and the trophy and anything else we want to ask him in regards to certainly some of this rivalry stuff, what he's seen from the team, all of that kind of stuff. We will try to touch on as much as we can, assuming we can make it happen. If not on Tuesday, we will do it on Wednesday, hopefully. But we are in discussions to make it happen. So, all right, that's going to do it for us today. Thank you for watching and or listening. We will be back on Tuesday. Peace.